The next psalm we will be studying is Psalm 103. I think you should just all applaud. Psalm 103 is my life psalm. I love this psalm. The Lord has used it in my life. It never gets old. I've already put on my calendar for this summer to study through it in depth again. It's an amazing psalm. And it became my life psalm early on because the Lord used this text to really unfold for me his character in a way that I did not understand. And it was the first time that I had seen God's self-revelation, that his glory is his goodness. Tom and I are working on another hymn right now that we're super excited about. Ben Mason has worked on a melody for Tom's lyrics for Psalm 103. So Lord willing, you're going to get to hear the outflowing of that over the next few months. We're not the first ones to come up with a song from Psalm 103. You might be aware of that. Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven comes directly from Psalm 103. And a more recent song, Matt Redman's 10,000 Reasons. And there are so many. I mean, we could do a whole lesson on the songs written from Psalm 103. I'm not going to teach Psalm 103 today, as hard as that is. You don't know how hard it is for me. I am so tempted. So don't be surprised if somehow in the next year or so, I figure out a way to be able to teach through systematically Psalm 103. But as we've gone through our study, we're going to do a similar thing to what we've done, where you all have your own reading and study time. You'll meet with your small groups. But in this gathered lesson time, normally we go through a text that complements the text you're studying or the chapter that you're studying. Today we're going to do a similar thing, but instead of a specific text of Scripture, I'm going to deal with one key concept that's highlighted in Psalm 103. So I do want you to turn to Psalm 103. So turn in your copy to Psalm 103. It begins this way. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Then the psalmist, David, begins listing benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The entire psalm continues blessing and praising the Lord's name, his character, and listing benefits. There's not one petition or complaint. It's just one benefit right after another. And it unfolds the beautiful character of God and how God treats his own. But look again at verse 1. He begins the psalm, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless in this context is praise. David is saying, praise the Lord, Yahweh. Yahweh, as we've seen often, is God's personal name. When we say it, it's he is. When God says it, it is I am. That's his personal name that he revealed to us. Then David says, oh, my soul and all that is within me, every fiber of my being. And then he repeats it again. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Then there's an interesting phrase. Look with me in verse 2. Forget none of his benefits. Now that's interesting because he doesn't say remember. He says forget none. Or the way that we could say it is don't forget. Now we often think of forgetting as something that happens to us, right? Oops, I forgot my keys. Oops. Forgot to take the trash out. Okay, but biblical forgetting is multifaceted and it honestly deserves its own study. There are things we're commanded not to forget. There are things we are commanded to forget. So there are things we are commanded to forget. Philippians 3, 13 through 14. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it, but this one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ. But here, as in other texts of Scripture, forgetting is not a little deal. It's a failure to remember. It is a neglect to focus on something essential and important. It's a neglect to actively bring something back to mind. Do not forget. Here are a couple of other places that we're told in Scripture not to forget. Do not forget. James 1:22 through 25 tells us not to be like the person who looks at himself in a mirror and then immediately forgets what he was like when he's looking at the Word of God. He then says, don't be hearers only who forget, but a doer. So don't be a forgetter. Deuteronomy 6:12 describes in detail Moses' charge to the Israelites right before his death and when they're on the verge of going into Canaan under Joshua. Deuteronomy 6:12 says this, "Watch yourself that you do not forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt." And now I want you to turn to Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. This is to the second generation. All the older Israelites except Joshua and Caleb have died. All of them have died except Joshua and Caleb, and Moses isn't going to get to go into the promised land. And here's what verse 2 says. "You shall remember all the way which your Lord your God has led you into the wilderness." And it goes on, "He fed you. Your clothes didn't wear out. After you're in this new land, when you have eaten and satisfied, you will bless the Lord your God." Did you hear that? "You will bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you." And then look at verse 11. "Beware that you," read it with me, "do not forget." That you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. Look at verse 14, because let me start back in 12. "Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and built good houses and lived in them, when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply and all that you have multiplies," verse 14, "then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt." Moses is pleading with them, don't forget. You must remember. Forgetting and remembering also deserve their own study. But for our purposes today, I want you to see two of the reasons the Bible tells us not to forget, but rather to remember. The first we saw in James 1. It says, don't be forgetters. Be hearers in order to do. Okay? We hear the Word of God. We remember in order to act upon it. We know that studying the Bible, studying God's Word, is not so that we can gather information and be very impressive in Bible quizzing. It's not so that we can impress our friends and neighbors or feel good about ourselves because of our Bible knowledge. We hear the Word of God in order to do, in order to act upon it. And then in Deuteronomy, look again at verse chapter 8, verse 10. I emphasized it when I read it. It said, "When you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given." We're going to talk about the relationship between praise and giving thanks later, but for now I want you to see the progression and interrelatedness of David's call back in Psalm 103. So back to Psalm 103, and have this open in front of you as we go forward. He says, bless the Lord, or we could say it, praise the Lord for who he is, and forget none of his benefits. Remember his benefits, his gifts, all the good things, in order to give thanks. So the reason here in Psalm 103 that we are to remember is so that we will give God thanks. David's saying, don't forget, so that you'll give thanks. Now, the Israelites were notorious forgetters. What did they choose to forget? Okay, how did God get them out of Egypt? Miracle after miracle. All of the plagues that took over Egypt. Pharaoh sent them out. Okay, all of the people in Egypt gave them all their goods. Here's some gold. Here's all of our nice outfits. Take it, please. Go. and God had the Egyptians give them all these things that you read about when they're in the wilderness wanderings. Where did they come up with all that? God had worked in the hearts of the Egyptians to flood them with provisions. God opened a Red Sea. They marched through on dry land. And then he closed it up. And it wiped out the Egyptians. And what do they do a few days later? It's really not that long. Oh, for Egypt. Don't you remember the onions and the leeks? Man, I could use a pot of that meat right now. They forgot. They forgot how bad it was. They had the good old day syndrome. Beware of the good old day syndrome. Oh, yeah, you just only remember the good old days. Well, read history. There never have been those since the fall. But they forgot. They forgot how God had brought them out of Egypt. But they're not the only good forgetters, are they? We can be really good forgetters. Psalm 103:7 says, he made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. I love the way the commentator Kidner puts it. No story surpasses the Exodus for a record of human unworthiness, of grace abounding and benefits forgot. Its mention here in verse 7 reminds us of the sullen ingratitude which God encounters in reply to the forgiving, healing, and redeeming of which the opening verses sang. Sullen ingratitude. Another way we could describe this trait, because we're pretty good at forgetting too, aren't we, is to say we're unthankful. Far too often our hearts are filled with this sullen ingratitude in spite of our amazing God and his abounding goodness to us. So as those of us who are working towards our year's study, as we come to the end this month and next month of our study on the faithfulness of God, we wanted to study Psalm 103 because it lays out majestically the faithful character and actions of our Lord. But we have to remember in order to praise and give thanks. We have to remember. So we wanted to focus on thankfulness, giving thanks. Now, we could approach this several ways. I could do a lesson on how to give thanks. However, anytime we see a sin in our lives, and who of us is not guilty of the sin of not being thankful enough? Anytime we see a sin in our lives, we need to analyze it carefully. We need to recognize the sin to put off, how to be renewed, and the virtue to put on. So the sin involved here is unthankfulness, ingratitude, failure to give thanks. But here's what we're going to do in the time we've got today. And it's going to be kind of lightning speed, and it's going to be more of a workshop than just a lesson, okay? So I want you really interacting with this in your own mind. Here's what we're trying to do today. We must recognize the sins of forgetting, the failure to remember, unthankfulness, and we must seek by God's grace to remember and give thanks. So we're going to put off forgetting and being ungrateful, and we're going to put on remembering in order to give thanks. Now, some of you remember when we studied unthankfulness several years ago when we were doing the book by Jerry Bridges, Respectable Sins. But we could all use a refresher because we can all be guilty of being unthankful. As I mentioned, it's really important to examine a sin carefully. It's not enough to simply say, oh yeah, I guess I'm unthankful sometimes. I need to work on that. Okay, how far is that going to get you? We forget. That's the point, right? Say, oh man, yeah, I need to work on that. If we just say, I need to work on that, we're not going to work on that. We're going to forget. We're going to move forward with our day. Left to ourselves, we're lazy thinkers. And I don't think it's just me. We must train for godliness. Think about a time you trained for something, or if that's not your thing, you observed someone else training for some difficult task. Athletic, a military, going to med school. Training requires work. When we train, we plan how we're going to train. We plan a course of action. We evaluate carefully what needs to be done, what needs not to be done. Now, last year, as part of our study of Envy of Eve and contentment, you may remember, long time ago, I taught the process of sanctification from Ephesians 4. And that chapter, Ephesians 4, gives us a course of action for dealing with sins. The concepts of put off, be renewed, put on. And I'd encourage you to spend some time there again soon. That's a text that you should be going back to repeatedly. Tom summarizes it this way: because you are a new person, take off the grave clothes that belong to the person you were, your habits of thinking and behaving, and put on the clothes that are fitting to the person that you are now in Christ. And he goes through a series of different sins that we are to lay aside, we're to be renewed in our minds, and we're to put on. From lying to speaking the truth, from unrighteousness to anger to righteous anger, from stealing to sharing, from unwholesome words to wholesome words, from natural vices to supernatural virtues. And the same process applies in every area of our lives. So, how do we train to put off unthankfulness and to be renewed and to put on thankfulness? One way to do this is to ask questions, and that's what we're going to do in our remaining time, and I've got lots of questions. As we seek to do this, we have to dig deeper so that we really know what we're dealing with, right? I mean, all too often, we're convicted of a certain sin, but really don't take the time to do the hard work of evaluation. And after today, we're not going to have that excuse. Because let's not just be hearers today. Let's be doers. Take what we go over today and over the next weeks, work with it in your own time with the Lord and dig deep. So, let's start with our questions. Our first question is, what is unthankfulness? Unthankfulness, ingratitude, thanklessness. It's a sin of omission. Something we don't do that we ought to do. Now, it's easier for us to see the sins of commission, the sins that we commit. When I yell in anger, that's pretty obvious to me, and I can see it. It's harder sometimes to recognize the sins that we are in areas of omission, things that we're supposed to do that we fail to do. But being unthankful is a sin of omission. It's not giving thanks. My mind kept coming back to Romans 1:21, that it talks about that they didn't give God glory, nor did they give thanks. And one study Bible note says they refused to acknowledge that every good thing they had and enjoyed came from God. So unthankfulness is not doing something that we ought to do. Our next question, what's the corresponding virtue? In other words, what's the opposite of unthankfulness? Now that seems obvious, but don't go over this too quickly. Thankfulness, gratitude, yes, those are the opposite virtues. They're attitudes characterized by being grateful, but notice in Scripture repeatedly, it's a command. Give thanks. It's an action. Too often, we can tend to think of things like gratitude, thankfulness, as primarily a feeling. I feel thankful. Or just an attitude. I am grateful. But again, I want you to see this. Every time you see this in Scripture, I want you to remember that it is an action. Give thanks. Why are we unthankful? Our next question. Why are we unthankful? What are the roots? Now, we already mentioned the one in Psalm 103. It was a failure to remember. Do not forget. Oh, the story of Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles 32:25 is a powerful story. That's 2 Chronicles 32:25. This really pierced me about a decade ago when I went through a time where the Lord took my health away for a number of years. I was unable to do any of my normal tasks. I couldn't sit up and talk on the phone at the same time. It was too much effort. I couldn't shop. I couldn't make a meal. I did keep clean, but I couldn't stand in the shower. If I had showered, I would be in bed the next 3 days. It was a very difficult time in my life. And then I got better and got my mammogram and got breast cancer. Then the Lord gave me my health back. And I came across this story of Hezekiah. And Hezekiah was dying. And he begged that God would give his health back, and God did. And here's what it says. It says that Hezekiah gave no return for the benefit he received. He got well, and he just moved on. And here's what God says about that. Because his heart was proud. What I want you to see is forgetting. One of the roots of forgetting is often pride. It's self-reliance. And I will tell you, every time I think of Hezekiah, I don't want to do that. I want to remember. So when God gave me my health back, I mean, this week when I've been able to be upright and I'm able to function and I got to clean my house, I'm clean and going, I get to clean my house. I can do this. Thank you, Lord. Help me to remember. Help me not to be proud and self-sufficient and take a good gift like restored health for granted, but help me to give you praise. So that's one of the roots. One of the roots is pride, self-sufficiency. Now, thankfully, in Hezekiah's story, God is gracious. And Hezekiah repented, and the Lord forgave him. We saw in Deuteronomy that they forgot. They forgot. And they were proud. It says that your heart was lifted up in pride. They thought they knew better than God. Now, this goes along with another sin, ungodliness. We studied ungodliness when we were doing respectable sins. And ungodliness is a failure to even acknowledge God. Completely unaware, senseless, stupid is the way Psalm 92 says it. Failure to give God glory. They didn't acknowledge God, Romans 1. It's self-sufficiency. Greed is also listed in the Scripture as one of the reasons to be unthankful. Lust, the opposite of lust, is to give thanks for everything you do have. To whom are we to be thankful? Our next question. Do you ever get frustrated around Thanksgiving when you see commercials that talk about gratitude? Have you seen the one that says, be grateful to your pet? You're like, it's Thanksgiving. Be grateful to God. This isn't just a force. This isn't just an attitude. You hear a lot about gratitude these days, and we'll talk about why that is. And it's a good thing. I think everyone should be grateful. It has amazing benefits, but we're not grateful because it helps us. We'll talk about that in a minute. We need to be thankful to the Lord. What are we to be thankful for? Spiritual blessings. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Temporal blessings. Psalm 100, God's godness and his goodness. Psalm 103, forget none of his benefits. You're going to be doing Psalm 104 that talks about his creation. Many are your works. They are too numerous to count, Psalm 45 says. We thank God for spiritual blessings. We thank God for material blessings. We thank God for his providence, his working in our lives. Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. Give thanks in all circumstances is the way the ESV translates that. So what are we to give thanks for? For all things, in all things. Why are we to be thankful? Why are we to give thanks? It's commanded. Everything comes from God. We have so much to be thankful for, don't we? The verse that often comes to mind and that the Lord has used to help me through my darkest days is Psalm 84:11. No good thing does he withhold from him who walks uprightly. So when I've gone through times of deep grief, the Lord has worked on my heart to say, if this were a good thing, I would have it. When circumstances don't go the way that we like, if this were good, it would be different. No good thing does he withhold from him who walks uprightly. And remember, him who walks uprightly, that's not based on our perfection. We walk uprightly because we are covered in grace. We have the very righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to us. So those who are in Christ are those who walk uprightly. When are we to be thankful? You know this. When are we to be thankful? All the time. Always. We've seen that in Ephesians 5:20. Again, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. We're also to be thankful when we're anxious. Philippians 4:6. When something is an all thing. Now, that was a phrase that I came up with a few years ago that helped me see that everything is an all thing. Everything's covered. So all the promises that God talks about, all things, for we know that God causes all things to work together for good, whatever it is covered. Change of plans, it's covered. Illness, it's covered. Sorrow, it's covered. A broken relationship, it's covered. A war in Europe, it's covered. For we know that God causes all things to work together for good. Therefore, friends, whatever it is, it's covered. And we can give thanks. Now, you'll notice it says, give thanks in all things. We don't give thanks for everything because everything is a good thing. It was a very confusing sentence. Not everything is good. It's not that everything is good. If you know me at all, you'll know that I don't really love the, it's all good. No, it's not all good. God will work it all for good. But sin and death are the results of sin and the curse. There are a lot of things on this earth that we deal with that in and of themselves aren't good. But we can thank God for them, and even in that circumstance, not because of the event or the circumstance itself, but because of God and his character and his promises. So everything that comes, we can, and in fact are commanded to, give thanks. So how do we put off unthankfulness? It requires confession. What is confession? Confession is saying the same thing about it that God says. And we need to take this seriously. When I was first doing this study several years ago, I took a long time looking back over my life, confessing the sin of ingratitude, starting with my birth. Now, my sins are covered in Christ. I know that. I wanted to take this seriously because I knew that I had lived most of my life oblivious to God, oblivious to really giving God the glory and giving God the thanks for everything he had done. Every act of grumbling, every act of greed, every act of lust, every act of covetousness, every moment that my heart is not filled with praise, is not filled with biblical joy, all ingratitude, all thanklessness. Because you remember that one incident of not loving God perfectly and not loving our brother and sister perfectly, one incident makes us worthy of eternal damnation. Let's not take the sin of failure to remember, of failure to give thanks lightly. It doesn't give him glory. It doesn't acknowledge that those gifts are from him. And this requires intentional effort to put off the specific acts, again, not just a general attitude, the specific acts of ingratitude. Now, in order to thoroughly put this off, we have to ask ourselves our next question. When are we most tempted not to be thankful? When are you most tempted not to be thankful? What are your particular struggles? And then evaluate those circumstances and come up with a plan. Do you fail to give God thanks for his daily provisions? Do you fail to bring back to mind his character and his goodness? Do you fail to pray with thanksgiving? Our next question, what specific scriptures about thankfulness will help to renew our minds? I know I'm repeating myself. Can you tell I really want you to get this? Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Another passage, if you haven't memorized this one, Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. We forget that sometimes, and we know where to go to the Lord with all of our cares, but he says to do it with a heart of gratitude. And I've shared with you all, my dad taught this very clearly. He said, if you can be anxious without ceasing, you can give thanks without ceasing. And he'd say, write a worry list, cross out worry, and put prayer list. Well, I expanded that, and mine says prayer and thanksgiving list. And I've got lists. I will do this every month or so. I'll write down my worry list. And what I have found that God changes my heart the fastest is to initially, before I even bring my request before the Lord, is to obediently give thanks. And by the time I work through that list, my heart is in a different place. And now I can pray, your will be done. So do not be anxious, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. With these scriptures, pick one or another that you have found. Put them in a prominent place. You can be old school like me. You know, 3x5 cards? Those still exist. I use them all the time. Sticky notes? Put it on your phone, your devices, on your mirror, where, you know, on your dash, but don't be reading it while you're... Everywhere your eye falls, put a scripture that will remind you to give thanks. How are we to put this on? So those are some of the scriptures. How are we, and we've touched on this a little bit, develop the habit of actively giving thanks. Frame your thoughts. Choose your thoughts. Choose to actively list out the blessings of God. Choose to formulate habits of intentional praise, prayer, and giving thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 is a fabulous rubric for this. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. Here's what that looks like. You wake up, and your first thought is, oh no, no. Your first thought should be, thank you, Lord, for a new day. You get in the habit of thanking God the moment that you're first aware that you're even awake. And you start saying, I'm going to start this day with rejoicing evermore, rejoicing. I'm going to focus on God's character. So as you shower, as you do your morning chores, every moment that you can grab, that you can have your own thoughts, you give God praise for who he is. You thank him for his character. All morning long, every time you have a moment that you can think, you give God glory, you praise him. Then it's about noon, and you say, okay, we started with rejoice always, now we're going to pray without ceasing. Lord, and you lay out all the requests as you're going about your day, as you're driving, as you're dropping your kids off, as you're in between classes for school, whatever it is you do, you're constantly choosing to bring your mind back to God and his truth. And to do it this way with this verse, we've gone through rejoicing, we've prayed, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You're going, now, every time I have my own moment, I'm going to give God thanks. You can reverse the order. Maybe you have a week where you say, all day long, every waking moment, I am going to give God thanks. Thank you, Lord, that I woke up this morning. Thank you that I had a warm bed. Thank you that your promises are new. Constantly giving thanks, getting in the habit of choosing every thought. One that I am working on is, and I'm working on this, and it's taking me so long. My first response to every circumstance. My plans don't go well. Thank you, Lord, that you're in control and I'm not. I'm getting sick. Lord, I don't like this, but thank you that this is your plan. A difficult person, or I won't say a difficult person, that's not nice. A person who's having difficulties. A person who is sometimes challenging to deal with, the Lord places in my life, or I have to have a difficult conversation. Thanking God. Lord, this is not how I wanted to spend my day, but you are good. You are God. You do everything right. Nothing is outside of your plan. Therefore, this is good because it's from your hand. Thank you. Now help me to respond to this. Give thanks while you're preparing meals, while you're driving, while you're walking. When there's an illness, an interruption, a change. Choose to give thanks at the end of every day. At the end of every day, when you're tucking in, train your thoughts. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you that your promises are true even during the night. Thank you that I can yield everything to you. Get in the habit of remembering and rehearsing God's character and his good gifts. Go through your life and thank God for how he's worked in your life. You know, in our modern society, we just are always on the move, aren't we? We're always doing the next thing, and we don't take the time to stop, ponder, think back, rehearse like David does in Psalm 103. Rehearse all his benefits. Rehearse your personal history. Giving God thanks for that, your past, your present. Giving God thanks for what he's going to do in your future, your life, your history, all the people in your life. Go through categories. I've mentioned some of these. Your spiritual blessings. Thank you for my redemption, for my new birth, for my adoption, for my someday glorification. Thank you that you're sanctifying me. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you. Thank him for every spiritual blessing you can think of. For material blessings, thank you for the universal laws that govern the universe. Thank you for air, for sun. Thank you for my family, work, home, ability to learn, school, government, law, an infrastructure where my trash gets picked up. Everything, in everything and for everything. Get in habits of training your mind to give thanks. The people in your life, all of them. Answered prayers. I shared this when I taught this several years ago, but I had a life-transforming afternoon several years back. Often when I go for my walks, I'll choose what I'm going to think about and what I'm going to pray about or what I'm going to meditate on during that walk. And I decided to do something different this time, and I chose to give thanks for everything God had given me that I didn't like. Everything that he had done in my life that I didn't want. And then I gave him thanks for not giving me many things that I had asked for and many things that I thought I wanted. And it totally changed my perspective. From that point forward, I didn't know where that was going to lead. I was just saying, I've never thought of it this way. I want to give thanks for this. And as I went through the afternoon, by the time of it, my heart was so filled with gratitude. Lord, thank you that you loved me enough to give me what I didn't want in some cases. And thank you for not giving me the things that sometimes I demanded, like I can demand something from God. Give thanks for and in everything. Answered prayers. How often do we pray, God answers, and we move on? Sometimes when our kids were young, we played the thankful game. Okay? Did you ever play the thankful game? It's where everybody, you're driving. Usually we do it when we were leaving vacation because we needed to focus on God's goodness. You give thanks for everything. You take turns and give thanks. Sometimes Tom and I, even when it's just the two of us, we'll come out of a rough situation and we'll be in the car and go, we need to play the thankful game. And we'll give thanks for everything we can think of to focus our mind on God and his goodness. What does thankfulness achieve? First and foremost, it gives God the glory he deserves. It recognizes who he is and what he has done and that everything is from him. Have you noticed how closely thankfulness is tied to praise? All throughout the Psalms, it's bless the Lord, praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord. Psalm 92, 1 through 4. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, with a ten-stringed lute and with the harp, with resounding music upon the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by what you have done. I will sing for joy at the works of your hands. It changes us. It gives God the glory and it changes us. Giving thanks is good for us. It brings us joy. That's not the primary reason. But God, in his amazing goodness, has designed it that way. When we give him his rightful praise, he gives us joy. Again, from Kidner, clearly enough, it is right to give thanks and to sing his praise. But here in Psalm 92, we go further and call it good. Good, no doubt, in the sense that in love he values it as he loved his creation, as he valued his creation. Remember when God created, he said, it is good. But also in the sense that it uplifts and liberates us. And here's one of my favorite lines ever. We are made glad by the works of God and by his ways in proportion as we give our minds and voices to expressing the wonder of them. As we give God praise, he makes us glad. Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of God with song and magnify him with thanksgiving. Again, praise and thanksgiving. How are they similar? They both focus on God. They both exalt him. How are they different? Praise is centered on God. Thanksgiving is specifically expressing and giving thanks for his good character and for what he has done. Thanksgiving is a part of praise. Here's what else it does. Not only does it give God glory, not only does it change us, but it also changes our perspective to a real, true, and accurate perspective. This isn't the power of positive thinking. This is not reframing. This is not cognitive therapy. This is not a mind game in order to make us feel better about ourselves. I'm just going to put on my rose-colored glasses. Happy, happy, happy. Give thanks. No. When we give God thanks, we actually begin to see that he truly is good. He really, truly is working all for our good. He's truly giving us every good thing. As we give thanks for everything and in everything, we begin to grasp these truths in deeper, more profound, and more specific ways. Every good gift, everything he gives, all points back to him. And as always, the desire of our hearts as followers of Jesus Christ is to be more like Jesus Christ himself. Look in the New Testament. Christ repeatedly gives thanks. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to the Father. Hebrews 13:15, through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to God. Matt Redman's lines from 10,000 Reasons, you're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Psalm 103:3, forget none of his benefits. Ladies, let's put off forgetting, and failing to give thanks, and remember to actively, purposefully, unendingly give thanks to God. Let's pray. Lord, we have just skimmed over so many profound truths. I ask that you would take this and use this for your glory in each of our hearts. Help us each to spend the time in evaluation, looking into our own lives, having the Holy Spirit dig into the corners and the nooks and the crannies and showing us our incredible hearts of ungratitude and our lack of giving thanks. Lord, help us not to take forgetting these things lightly, but help us to actively bring your goodnesses to mind and develop habits of giving thanks to you in everything, for everything, because of Jesus Christ and your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.